gentlemen, Ed Bowserman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with the signs that followed. It is written, the same Jesus who is received up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye beheld him going into heaven. It is written, and when he had made purification for sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And he led them out until they were over against Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them, and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, blessing God. Triumphant Christ ascends on high, the glorious work complete. Sin, death, and hell now vanquished lie beneath his blessed feet. There with eternal glory crowned, the Lord the Conqueror reigns. His praise the heavenly choirs resound in their immortal strains. Amid the splendors of his throne, unchanging love appears. The names he purchased for his own still on his heart he bears. Oh, the rich depths of love divine, of bliss, a boundless store. Dear Savior, let me call thee mine. I could not ask for more. On thee alone my hope relies. Beneath thy cross I fall. My Lord, my life, my sacrifice, my Savior, and my all.
For God is just a
Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message on the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are several references in the New Testament regarding the ascension of Jesus to heaven after his resurrection. We are told that he spent 40 days on earth instructing the apostles before he was taken up. So the following is a short list of some of the references of that momentous event. What a day that was when Jesus was taken up to heaven. Jesus himself spoke of it as a marvel when he challenged some of his followers in John 6. What then, if ye would see the Son of Man ascending up where he was before? This message will give a partial answer to that question of Jesus to modern-day disciples. The first ascension story we note is in the Gospel according to Mark. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken unto them, was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed. When the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, his work on earth was not over. It continued on earth as the apostles went forth and preached the gospel. But Jesus was more than a passive observer of the activities of the apostles as they preached the word. Mark tells us that he worked with the apostles from heaven, confirming the word by the signs that followed. The signs that he gave were such signs as casting out demons, speaking in new tongues, taking up serpents, and immunity from drinking poison. The speaking in tongues was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost when the apostles were heard by 16 different tongues and dialects. Many instances of casting out demons are mentioned in the book of Acts, and while no example of immunity from poison is mentioned, we do have one example of Paul taking up a poisonous reptile and suffering no ill effects from snake bite. The Lord confirmed the word by the working of these signs. Although we do not need to confirm the word today, since it has already been confirmed, and once is enough, there is no need for these miracles today as worked through the hands of men. Some today may not agree, but it seems they are very selective in the signs given the apostles that they endeavor to duplicate. I know of some who think they can speak in different tongues the same way they did it on the day of Pentecost, but not many will try their hand at taking up serpents. I heard a song one time about a man who was invited to go to a church service where they had a snake-handling service. He didn't know what was going on, and as he sat there with his friend, they began to pass around this rattlesnake from person to person. This particular man got nervous and inquired of his friend, "Where is the back door?" He was informed there was none. He said, "Reckon, where would they want one?" However, the Lord is still busy today working with those who preach the word as found in the book of Acts. In his providence, Jesus still brings together both the preacher and the audience to hear about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord, and the response that he requires, namely, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. Faith, repentance, and baptism are emphasized in the gospel according to Mark, as he told about the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. The next account of the ascension is found in the gospel according to Luke. Luke tells us, "And he led them out until they were over against Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God." The emphasis on the ascension of Jesus, according to Luke, seems to be more on the personal worship of the apostles. They worshiped him and were continually in the temple blessing God. Today we need to worship in the temple also. We do have a temple, you know. Paul speaks of that temple when he says, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? Therefore glorify God in your body." Our worship in the temple is a day-by-day experience of glorifying God in the lifestyle of the Christian. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid." The Christian's life, by his life, should be just as conspicuous as a light set on a hill. Our worship service also includes the gathering of the members of the local congregation together, according to Acts 20:7. "And upon the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread." Our observance of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week is a continual reminder to us and to the world that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, arose from the dead, ascended, and is coming again. Then again, the emphasis of worship on the Lord's Day is a challenge to any serious-minded follower of the Lamb, according to Hebrews chapter 10. There it is stated, "Not forsaking our own assembling together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day drawing nigh." And then this somber warning to those who misuse the day of worship. If we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment of fire that shall devour the adversaries. According to that statement, a person who deliberately avoids the assembling on the first day of the week is an adversary of God. That means you have put yourself in the place of an enemy of God. Furthermore, the warning is even more disturbing when the inspired word states, "You have trodden underfoot the Son of God, and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith you were sanctified an unholy thing." And then beyond that, it is said, "You have done despite to the Spirit of grace." Listen again to that awful pronouncement. Adversary of God, trodden underfoot the Son of God, counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing, done despite to the Spirit of grace. This warning is emphasized, and in addition to all that is the warning, "As ye see the day drawing nigh." The Christ who ascended is coming again, and he himself has said, "In an hour that ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And if that is not enough to light your fire, finally there is this awful statement, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." The next account of the ascension of Jesus is found in the book of Acts. There the Lord was on the Mount of Olives with the apostles. He had just told them that they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he said these things, as they were looking, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye looking into heaven? This Jesus, who is received up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye beheld him going into heaven." In this account of the ascension of Jesus, it is emphasized that this same Jesus will return in like manner as he was seen going into heaven. The second coming of Christ is emphasized in this account of the ascension. One day he will come in like manner as he was received up into heaven. That was given by the Lord himself when he told how to Caiaphas at his trial, "Henceforth ye shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. He shall come in like manner as he was received up into heaven." Then another example of how he shall come in like manner as he was received up into heaven is in the first chapter of Revelation. "Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him. Then all the tribes of the earth shall mourn over him." Not only will Caiaphas see him, but also every eye shall see him at the same time. Those who crucified him or rejected his blood sacrifice will mourn at the sight of the victorious Christ coming in the clouds of heaven. So he shall come in like manner as ye beheld him going into heaven. Another statement about the coming in like manner as he was received up into heaven is in 1 Thessalonians. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are left alive unto his coming shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So you see, he shall come in like manner as ye beheld him going into heaven. Then another reference that informs us that he will come in like manner as he received into heaven is in 2 Thessalonians, when Paul speaks of the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that Paul tells of angels in flaming fire in the Lord's return. That reminds us of the translation of Elijah. He was taken up in a chariot of fire. The chariot of fire must have been a company of angels that carried him up. In Hebrews 1, we learn that he maketh his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. The angel that appeared to Gideon ascended back to heaven in a flame of fire. Jesus did not need a fiery chariot to take him up to heaven. He ascended under his own power. But when he comes again, the angels will return with him in flaming fire. He shall come in like manner as ye beheld him going into heaven. Then this statement of encouragement for the Christian, as Mark records these words of Jesus regarding his coming in like manner as he was received up into heaven. Mark says, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and glory. And then shall he send forth his angels, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. He shall come in like manner as ye beheld him going into heaven." The next account of the ascension of Jesus we notice is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. "Having then a great high priest who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." Jesus, when he ascended, passed through the heavens. The Jews in those days believed in three heavens. The first heaven was the heaven where the birds fly. Jesus said, "The birds of the heaven have nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." When the Lord ascended, he did not stop somewhere in the heavens where the birds and airplanes fly. The second heaven is the heaven where the stars, planets, sun, and moon are to be found. Jesus referred to the second heaven when he said in regards to his second coming, "The sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the power of the heaven shall be shaken." Then the third heaven is the home of God and the entire heavenly host. When the first Russian cosmonaut went up in space and returned, he said he had been to heaven, and he did not find God up there. The reason he did not find God was because he did not go high enough. He went through the first heaven, he went through the second heaven, but there was no way he could ever get to the third heaven. No rocket ever made will blast off to the third heaven. Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We can blast off Cape Canaveral and go to the moon, but to go to the third heaven, we must blast off from Cape Calvary. So Jesus passed through the heavens and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The emphasis on this reference of the ascension of Jesus is that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God to be our intercessor. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one who was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. Because Jesus lived on this earth in the flesh, as we live, he understands our weakness. That is why the Hebrew writer continues and urges us to draw nigh with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may find grace and mercy in time of need. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no time in my life, no day or hour or minute, that I do not need to cry out for grace and mercy. I am always a beggar before God. I have never done anything whereby I can approach God and ask for something on the basis of what I have done. I am always in the need of grace and mercy. Grace is what gives us that we do not deserve, and mercy is God's grace in action. If God the Father would ever entertain the notion to pick up this world like a basketball and slam dunk it into hell, it is still the nail-scarred hand of Jesus that stays him from that purpose. Jesus is our intercessor and is always ready to plead our case before the Heavenly Father, and that is the emphasis of the ascension in Hebrews 4. Then there's the ascension of Jesus in 1 Timothy. Just one more reference about that ascension. And we note in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, great is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh. Some religious worshipers worship a god in the form of a bull or a crocodile. No one ever dreamed that God would visit the earth, not as a crocodile, but as a baby, justified in the Spirit. He was justified in the Spirit at his baptism, when the Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove, and a voice was heard saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He was seen of angels. Angels announced his coming to the shepherds at Bethlehem. He was preached among the nations. The Great Commission instructed them to teach all nations. He was believed on in the world. John said he saw a number that no man could number, of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Then he was received up into glory. In this reference to the ascension of Jesus, the emphasis is on the glory of the triumphant Son of God. When Jesus went out of sight of the wandering apostles, he came in very close sight of the host of heaven as they welcomed the King back home. They had seen him leave home, and now they see him return again. His arrival is no doubt what the psalmist had in mind when he wrote these words, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." The gates seem to be personified, and they cry back in answer to the angels and say, "Who is this King of glory?" The angels call back the answer, "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." And again the gates call back for more information. "Who is this King of glory?" Again the angels give the answer, "The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." That is the emphasis that is given in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy, on the ascension of Jesus. A Church of Christ evangelist of many years ago wrote a gospel song that tells about the ascension of Jesus. The lyrics of one verse tell us, "At his feet, on old Olivet's hill, they say, cloud chariots halted, took Christ away. Then the angels came, and the wandering disciples said, he'll come, and earth and sea shall yield up their dead. Ah, I am so happy in Jesus, captivity's captor is he. Angels rejoice when a soul saved, some day we like him shall be. Sorrow and joy have the same Lord, valley of shadows shall sing. Death has its life, its door opens in heaven. Eternally Christ is King." Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.